Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, former State Senator Warren Hardy will be here. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Allison Galdon, Todd Taxpayer Bailey, and Matt Sharp. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans, generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year, provided nearly $700 million to help our schools, and built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program former State Senator Warren Hardy. He is now the principal with the Hardy Consulting Group. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Good to be here as always, Sam.
I want to ask you, I asked this last week of our pundits, the level of tension in the building with the legislature.
You know, it's there, especially as compared to last session. I thought one of the interesting things the last session was that we kind of put that aside early, the tensions, the bipartisanship. We realized, man, we had a problem on our hands here. And so that was never a problem going in. I think right now, because there are so many new people, there's a new governor, there's a lot of questions, there's a lot of posturing going on that didn't take place last session. And I don't want to leave you with the impression that that's not normal, because it is. Last session was the anomaly, not this session. So yeah, there's tension, but I'm not sure the tension this time is any greater than it's been in sessions prior to.
Do you think the Republicans are much more solidified now than they've been in your history there?
I think so. I think, you know, it's an interesting dynamic when part of the discussion goes, well, maybe we can get some votes for the tax increase on the Assembly side, because there doesn't seem to be any in the Assembly or in the Senate. That seems to be a change. You know, I think the dynamic that's most different here is that in a traditional legislative session, both sides at this point early on are posturing, you know, setting themselves up for whatever their position, whatever their ask, whatever their negotiation is going to be down the road. And so I think on one side of the House, the Democrats are kind of in that traditional mode, and they're saying, what are the Republicans positioning for? What is Governor Sandoval positioning for? What's he setting up? I don't think he's setting up anything. I mean, I think he's stated his position. I don't think it's a negotiating ploy or tactic. And that is a different dynamic than I've ever seen in 20 years in the building.
How is that different then from Governor Gibbons?
Well, Governor Gibbons wasn't as connected with the caucus in the Senate and the Assembly. In fact, we as you know, we're at odds a lot.
Was that partially because of some of the people who were in the caucus? I mean, you know, Senator Raggio was kind of a foil a lot of times to Governor Gibbons.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so, but the reality of it is Governor Gibbons wasn't posturing either. But we may have been in the Senate, you know, and so there wasn't that connect. There is a connection this time, and I think you know, it's been interesting, the news reports the last couple of days where Ira Hansen has said, well, maybe there's room to negotiate, and he gets called to the governor's office. And I don't think it's correct to say that's the woodshed. I've known Brian Sandoval for 20 years, and that's not his style. His style is to sit you down and explain, here's how we're going to do it. And I think what's happening on a lot of in the minds of a lot of Republicans is, I don't see how you pull this off. And I think if the governor's pulling in and giving them a comfort level for Senator Rhodes, which he did today, say, okay, I'm on board. There's something there other than rhetoric, because I just don't think Senator Rhodes would be inclined to say, I'm going to support your package unless it really took care of some of the things.
So do you think that we are going to pass the $5.8 billion budget that the governor's proposed? And, you know, $5.8 billion today, who knows what it's going to be after the Economic Forum meets? Hopefully, is this real wood, Sam?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hopefully, you know, the Economic Forum is going to say we have more money than we think we do right now.
Well, I just don't see the governor and the Republicans being that far out on a limb that they're going to back off on now. So, yeah, I do.
One of the interesting things to me is reports I'm hearing that reporters, and therefore probably being pushed by editors, want the Democrats to come out with their end game the first week of the session, and they're almost to the point of anger in going after this.
Well, let me tell you, here's what I've learned in the years I served with Senator Horsford and some of those Democrats. Governor Sandoval is rightfully getting a lot of credit for his political prowess and the fact that he's a smart guy. Senator Horsford's a smart guy, too, and he's equal to the task as far as a political practitioner. So I don't think they're going to show their hand before they think it makes sense.
Do you think
he's formidable?
In some ways, I mean, we've already had reports in the media. Dave McGrath Schwartz had an article in the Las Vegas Sun a few weeks ago about business leaders, Maribel Batcher, I think Boyd Gaming. She was with Caesars. Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce representatives meeting with the Democratic leadership to come up with some tax ideas, sales tax on services, or a franchise tax on business.
Right.
Don't you think we're already seeing some of where they want to go from these reports?
That, to me, that's more indicative of what I mentioned earlier, and that is the traditional way things are done. I think those business leaders and others thought, okay, here we're going to have a replay of 03, we're going to have a replay of 09, where we've got reforms we're wanting, and we're going to exchange tax votes for them. That's the dynamic that was playing out there. I don't think it was part of this dynamic. I think people are just starting to realize that the Republican side, this is not posturing. That kind of activity would have made complete sense in 09 or 05 or 07 or 03.
What kind of reforms do you think will be big enough for the business community to accept a tax? Getting rid of 288?
Or significant reform to 288.
This is collective bargaining.
Collective bargaining for local government employees. And here's the interesting thing. In the conversations I've had with Democrats in the interim, I felt like they were willing to go a lot farther in those reforms than they did last time.
Didn't get a whole lot last time.
We didn't. Time. We really didn't, and that was, you know, that was a whole other set of dynamics and a whole other set of personalities. But I really get the sense that there are Democratic leaders, and I think Senator Horsford among them, that realize there need to be significant reforms to the way we do business. And I sense they were willing to go a long way. But they're not going to do it unless there's an exchange for a tax vote.
All right, let's take a break. More with former Senator Warren Hardy when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, this may be the most important phone call you'll ever make.
I owed $50,000 in taxes, but listen.
Your tax problem is settled. You only owe $8,400.
What a great message.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, then you owe it to yourself to call this number. Let our experts help guide you through the process of negotiating a tax settlement. Call this number or go to tax10000.com.
Urgent means. If you have good credit now and a good credit history, you can qualify for a low fixed rate 30-year refinance loan from Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They turned my good credit into a great rate. Thank you, Mortgage in 15 minutes.
They came through, like they said, in less than 15 minutes.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Call us now for your low fixed rate loan.
Call 1-800-604-1585.
Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with former State Senator Warren Hardy. He's the head of the Hardy Consulting Group. We were talking in the previous segment here about potential concessions and differences between now and 2009. That's because the whole system is collapsing. I mean, you look at county government, Washoe County last week, Reno City Council talking about another round of huge layoffs, a lot of positions that have not been funded, they were funded but not occupied, are disappearing. And so there is a real need that if people want to keep their jobs, that they're going to have to do something. So there's great pressure to have concessions.
There's no question about it. And here's what I think is healthy, and I think the governor's position is going to stimulate a conversation or discussion that has never occurred, and that is the kinds of cuts, the kinds of things we have done, the very difficult things we have done as a legislature over the last few years. The local governments haven't done it, not as dramatically. They have in incremental steps. They meet every 2 weeks. We meet every 2 years. So in incremental steps, they have made some changes. But they haven't, I don't think, reviewed the real significant issue of collective bargaining and some other things. So I think that's going to be healthy. There's no question, you can't cut what we need to cut out of the state budget. You can out of the collective tax package. And that's what the public looks at. And that's what they want. And I think Governor Sandoval is trying to drive that debate. And I think it's healthy.
Let's talk about cuts for a minute, because you represent an industry, or you did, and you still do, but in a different capacity now, the construction industry. And we talk about the cuts that we're making in government. You know, we're talking about a 5% cut to state workers. We're talking about cutting some positions in local government. But how devastated has the construction industry been by this economic downturn?
Oh, devastated. I mean, absolutely devastated. There is no construction industry. To the extent there's any construction industry, it's in solar.
Magnitude has been much greater in the private sector, which is now, we're now seeing that ripple throughout the public sector.
Right. And there's been a lot of criticism in some circles about the Jobs Coalition proposal. Here's the problem. The problem is that we are overly dependent on the construction industry. I work for the construction industry. I spent 10 years running a construction trade association. I ought to be saying, you know, let's just keep building. I have always said we are way too dependent on the construction industry. We need to fix that. But we have not fixed that. And so now we find ourselves in a position that if we want our economy to turn around to the point where we can go back and correct that through economic diversification, we got to get that industry working again.
But that's a very extended process. I mean, redevelopment of a downtown, for example, is a 20 to 30 year process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. So we're heading in the right direction. Danny Thompson on this program about a year ago said that in some of the construction trades, unemployment up around 80%.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, in some of the trades. And here's the thing I think we need to be very mindful of. We don't, because we have this immediate need to revitalize the construction industry, we shouldn't do that in a vacuum here and talk about economic development in a vacuum here. We should be talking about those two things together. As we're spending revenue, as is proposed by the Job Coalition's bill, it should be with an eye towards how we're going to diversify the economy.
And that's things like Interstate 11.
Exactly, exactly.
Sure, that would connect Vegas and Phoenix for people who aren't familiar familiar with that.
Let's talk about also something that's occurring in Reno, for example, which is more citizen involvement when the government can't take care of things on as simple as level as graffiti. The city of Reno is down to one person going around painting, and they on a partial sick leave. And so you're seeing businesses now paying painters to come in and cover the graffiti because they don't want to have their business in an area that is not good for business. So are we going to see more of this in other areas?
Well, I hope so. I mean, because, look, you can make an argument that covering up graffiti on a business's wall is not the function of government.
Absolutely.
And I've always made the case, the example I used is, remember in the good old days when your neighbor's dog was barking, you went out and shot it with a BB gun or whatever. I'm just kidding. But you took care of it yourself. You know, now there's a number you can call at the county, hey, come out and, you know, tell my neighbor's dog to shut up, and they'll come out. Is that the function of government? And I think that's the kind of dialogue that this whole thing is inspiring, that I think is extremely healthy at the local
government.
Yeah,
what the role of government should be. And I absolutely agree with you, and I've used that example myself about the barking dog.
Yeah,
it seems we do depend on government to do so much for us that they're not doing what they really need to do, that focus isn't there.
Well, that's right. And at least for the last two legislative sessions, we have really focused on what everybody agrees is a legitimate function of government. I always say, very indelicately, educate them, medicate them, and incarcerate them. Those are the functions of government. Education, is it constitutionally mandated, whether it should be or not, it's a debate, but it is. It's in the Constitution. Taking care of those who cannot take care of themselves or don't have the family resources to take care of themselves. And then public safety. And that has been the focus of the last two legislative sessions. Look, let's just fund those. We haven't had any discussions about extending the role of government at the legislature. That debate has not necessarily completely taken place at the local government level, and I think that's going to be
helpful. Well, and I think at the legislature, don't you see, I mean, when we talk about budget cuts, you have groups like Plan and Progress Now that'll hold candlelight vigils,
right,
you know, talking about any budget cut, you know, whether it's a service that's redundant or not, or whether it's the proper role of government. And do you think that's where we're kind of getting in the debate? I mean, we can't even agree on what the budget gap number is. Is it a billion? Is it $500 million? Is it $3 billion?
Well, I do think, and we don't know, and I do think we need to spend a little more time talking about reforms. I've supported tax increases in the past. I don't have a problem with doing that for things that make sense, but it's time for us to look at what we're funding and to make sure it makes sense. The answer is not to throw money at it, and that's an opportunity that's created by this kind of an environment. But we never have that discussion. We never get around to the discussion about how can we make education better, because we're constantly fighting.
This governor's having that conversation.
And the governor is having the conversation. But I think the Democrats are willing to have it too, which is a unique thing.
Oh, I think the Democrats are definitely
no question. Right. And we may miss that opportunity because of the intransigent on the Republican side to consider taxes.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much. We always appreciate you coming in. Come back before the end of the session.
Be happy to.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time.
My name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
I love what I do, so please don't ever hesitate in asking me questions when you see me around town. I'll answer them. I won't charge you for them. Call me, email me. I'm there for you. I love giving back to the community, and I want to give back to you. You owe it to yourself, and I owe it to you. Call me, 333-1234. Let me help you. My name is Joe Laub. I'm your injury attorney. 333-1234.
Laub and Laub and Laub.
You know what I love? Secrets, or should I say exposing secrets. And on Tuesday, some big news is going to break that will rock Nevada's political world. I'm committed to my promise not to say anything yet, but we'll get to the heart of the matter on Face to Face.
What's more American than a Ford truck? Turns out, a Toyota truck. On the Cars.com American Made Index, the Toyota Tundra ranks higher than the Ford F-150. It's one tough truck, only better. Get 0% financing for 60 months on any new 2011 Tundra or choose $2,750 cash back on the unbeatable Crewmax. Toyota.
So you can't save money? That's easy as pie.
bagging lunch instead of going out. $6 save times 5 days a week times 10 years is $21,000. That's a lot of lettuce. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feedthepig.org.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis and Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great PowerPoint panel as always. Todd Taxpayer Bailey is here, publisher of the Capital Chronicles. Allison Golden is vice president of the Nevada Public Affairs for Planned Parenthood. And attorney Matt Sharp, welcome to all of you. Well, you know, things are moving at the legislature. Things are being unveiled. The Nevada Jobs First legislation was heard in the Assembly Government Affairs Committee. Your thoughts on this idea?
It's the best protectionist legislation I've ever heard.
What do you mean?
Well, it's going to be great for Nevada workers, but what we see all over, at least in the West, is a lot of this somewhat protectionist legislation where any public bidding is going to favor Nevada companies and Nevada workers. I think that's great. Except there's a lot of Nevada workers right now who go out of state to work, and if all other states were to adopt that same thing, it could really create some problems, as all protectionist legislation does. I was at the hearing, though. There were a lot of familiar faces who were there, who were carpenters and steel workers and all there, and I'm very sympathetic to what they're talking about. How that finally works out in some legislation, I do not know.
Allison, your thoughts on that? Because it sounds, on the surface, like a good idea.
It sounds on the surface like a good idea. I don't know. I think we have to do something to encourage job growth, and whether it'll be effective or not, you know, we know we should buy American, and then we go to Walmart and we pay the lowest price we can get for things. So
from China.
So, you know, if we're really going to invest in that, maybe we need to push a bill and say hire Nevadans, because that's what we need to do.
Matt?
Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, the taxpaying dollars going back to Nevadans makes sense. Of course, everything, you know, in the detail and the enforcement of things like this, how that works, you know, that all comes back to the detail, but on the surface, seems like a good idea.
Well, there are unintended consequences already. Our Samantha Stone reporting from the legislature talking about this bill. It stiffens the requirements for building contractors who bid on projects involving public monies. The problem is the workers must have a Nevada's driver's license or ID card, and the contractor is required to record the driver's license numbers along with names, per diem compensation, benefits paid. The contractor is further required to make this information available to the contracting city or other government agency in charge of the project. In turn, that city or agency is required to make the information available for public inspection upon request. Now, this means that the personal identifying information belonging to whatever worker will be available to the public, and by serving up this combination of data points about an individual conjures disturbing possibilities for abuse. There are, for instance, criminals who would manufacture a license featuring their own photo along with somebody else's name and driver's license number for the purpose of boarding an airplane or opening a bank account. And this brand of identity theft is not only rampant by the actual perpetrators of such crimes, but there's a multi-billion dollar worldwide black market for such personal identifying information. Your thoughts on unintended consequences?
Wow. I don't know about identity theft. Maybe that's true. I was just thinking of the...
It's a big deal. I had lunch with somebody yesterday who was dealing with problems in the millions of dollars because of identity theft.
I understand that identity theft is happening. I'm not smart enough to figure out how to do that myself, so I'm amazed when somebody else puts that much energy into it. But what I was thinking was, well, we want to cut government, and yet we've created all these processes for checking, making more government... positions that are going to have to process all this paper, and then to stop identity theft on top of that, that'll be really an interesting consequence.
But identity theft is a huge problem.
Well,
and we're just making it really easy.
I think again, therein goes the detail. That's why you have hearings. That's why you have the legislative process to address these things. It would just seem like you should be able to put a position where there needs to be a reasonable basis to know whether this person's using Nevada workers, etc.
But not give away all the information.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be ways to balance both sides of the equation.
At one point there, I thought Allison was coming over to your side of the aisle.
Well, I felt that. Well, first of all, good job, Samantha Stone, because I didn't hear anybody on the Committee for Economic Development or Jobs even mention this. So, Ben, get on that. Again, it's protectionist, and with all protectionist legislation, the cost of the project is going to go up, and everything you just mentioned right there sounds like at least 5%. And so the cost of all these projects will go up with this legislation. And one other thing, you know, when you talk about economic growth, you know, this isn't really growth. This isn't new wealth coming into the state of Nevada. It's the wealth that's already here, redistributed to some people who are out of work, which may be a good thing, at a higher cost than we would normally do. It is something to consider before you pass this legislation. And we haven't heard anything about what the governor has to say about this. Heidi Gansert showed up and, you know, stood there and looked nice, but she didn't really have anything to say about it, so I think it's going to be interesting to see what the governor has to say
about
that.
Well, this is one of the interesting things about this session so far is that a lot of folks like yourself in the media want to have instant answers to everything, and there is a process here. It doesn't all happen in the first day.
I don't know that I want an instant answer, but I guess on this particular one, I think the governor's office is going to wait to the very end to see what the final legislation looks like before they have an opinion about that.
But that's the legislative process.
Yeah, it's the process.
I mean, and it should go that way. Mm-hmm. There should be a process of making the best possible law that you can.
And we have 120 days to do it.
Yeah. Well, and they've started a heck of a lot earlier in the and ramped it up way faster than I've ever seen them ramp it up before. So,
all right. And that's where we have to leave it.
And this is a good place to start.
All right. That's where we'll leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Imagine looking 10 years younger in about an hour. Welcome to a review of the Quick Lift, a revolutionary procedure that allows such miracles to happen every day. I feel like I went back in time. I love it.
The Quick Lift was my answer.
I should have done it years ago. I just love it. Using a mild numbing agent, our Quick Lift doctors gently lift and tighten the sagging skin around the face and neck.
I was looking tired and just worn out. My chin was starting to hang down.
I had all this sagging skin under my cheeks and jawline, and my neck was terrible.
I think one of the big advantages that almost all of my patients tell me is that with a Quick Lift, because it's an upward advancement procedure instead of a backward advancement procedure, they like the fact that they just look very, very natural.
The breakthrough Quick Lift procedure only takes about an hour. But listen to this. You can be back to normal and can look up to 10 years younger in a matter of days.
Yeah, it makes me feel so much better. And my husband loves it. He's like, you look beautiful.
The very next day, I could see an amazing difference. I feel like I went back in time. When I look in the mirror, I see myself 12 years ago.
This is something that really works. The Quick Lift has changed my whole outlook on life.
Oh my gosh, I look and feel so much younger. It's incredible. Discover the youth, beauty, and confidence that thousands of men and women from across the country are now enjoying. Don't wait to look great. Call today at 1-800-321-LIFT for a free and private Quick Lift evaluation. That's 1-800-321-LIFT. Call now.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. Plus, check out the blog Samantha Stone's on identity theft. On the next broadcast, State Senator Randolph Townsend, now a gaming commissioner, right here. See you.